Rosemary Martirana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, NJOHSP, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. Although it is produced every month, we aim to stay on top of current events and will often offer additional content. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njohsp.gov. In November 2015, NJOHSP and the New York State Intelligence Center, along with the New Jersey Regional Intelligence Academy and McLaughlin, hosted a one-day seminar joining together Clint Watts, Dr. William McCants, J.M. Berger, and Seamus Hughes to discuss the current threat of violent extremists and how law enforcement and homeland security professionals may counter it. NJOHSP analysts had the opportunity to interview these experts and engage in valuable dialogue surrounding a variety of terrorism-related topics.
Hello, this is Ian Anderson from the New York State Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, and today I'm interviewing Dr. Will McCants. Dr. McCants directs the project on U.S. relations with the Islamic world at the Brookings Institution. He's also adjunct faculty at Johns Hopkins University and previously served as a State Department senior advisor on countering violent extremism. Prior to serving at the U.S. State Department, he held positions in the U.S. Department of Defense and the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point. Dr. McCants is the author of The ISIS Apocalypse, The History, Strategy, and Doomsday Vision of the Islamic State. He has a PhD in Near Eastern Studies from Princeton University. Welcome, Dr. McCants.
Thank you.
So we'll dive right in.
All right.
First question I had for you today was, in your book, which is excellent, by the way.
Thank you.
You recount the selection of the current Islamic State leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, based upon the sort of machinations of the now-deceased former Ba'athist Haji Bakr. How important is Baghdadi to the viability of the Islamic State as compared to these former Ba'athists in the leadership? And if Baghdadi was killed, who might succeed him?
So the former Ba'athists play a major role in the organization, particularly since 2010 when the current so-called caliph took charge. Many of them are former members of Saddam Hussein's military and intelligence apparatus, so they have long experience in running an authoritarian state. They also have been spending the past 10 years fighting an insurgency, and a rather brutal one, so they're very skilled at warfare as well. There's been a kind of Darwinian experiment where the weaker ones and the less cunning ones were ruled out or were weeded out. So the guys at the top are very capable, and the Islamic State probably wouldn't be nearly as successful as it has been without them. But the current leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, he brings a unique skill set to the table. One, he is known for his ability to reconcile and work with different factions within the Islamic State. The main divide between them is between the foreign fighters and the local Iraqis, and he's successfully bridged that divide, which was one reason for his rise. He also has some unique qualifications for the office of caliph. I mean, first of all, he's descended from the Quraysh tribe, which was Muhammad's tribe, which many Sunnis believe to be one of the main prerequisites for being called a caliph. And he also has a extensive training in religious theology and law, which is unusual for the leader of a militant organization. He actually has a PhD in Quranic studies. So he's got a CV and a lineage and political skills in a unique combination that makes him an effective leader, and they will have a tough time replacing him afterwards as a consequence. There's nobody that's waiting in the wings with that combination. I mean, you certainly have capable military leaders. Maybe you have somebody that's descended from Muhammad's tribe, but this unique combination of qualities you're not likely to find in his successor.
Great, thank you. So, second question. While most of the attention on the Islamic State's recruitment has been focused on foreign fighters and recruiting homegrown violent extremists in the West and other countries, the group has also called for technical experts and skilled professionals such as engineers, doctors, accountants, computer technicians, in their drive to build this so-called Islamic State. How successful has this portion of the recruitment been?
I think it's been a little successful. They have attracted some professionals, some doctors, engineers into their ranks, but I think the vast majority of their recruits are pretty young and therefore not as skilled as some of these professionals that are coming. Many of the people that are joining the Islamic State, particularly from abroad, are in their early or mid-20s, so they just haven't been in school long enough to have acquired many of these skills.
So you also discuss in the book how the Islamic State modified its apocalyptic doctrine to focus on institution building rather than the imminent appearance of a savior. Do you see the Islamic State strategy working beyond these next few years if this sort of apocalypse doesn't come to pass? Or can they sort of continually modify this narrative of success, and how might that change over time?
Well, I think they've modified it enough to where they give themselves many years to pursue this project. In their telling, there is going to be five just caliphs that rule the world before it ends. And so if Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is the first, you would expect there would be four more to follow before everything goes down. So it gives them a pretty long lease in life that they can pursue their state-building strategy without disappointing the apocalyptic expectations of their followers.
So kind of pivoting a bit towards the relationship with Al-Qaeda, its sort of former parent organization in the Islamic State today, are there any circumstances under which you could see Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State reconciling? For example, might there be some key senior Al-Qaeda leaders like Saif Adil that's been supposedly sent to the Syria area, who could maybe facilitate this peace between the two groups?
It's not impossible. I don't think the two organizations will ever be joined together as one in the future. There's simply too much blood between them. But it is possible that they can put aside their differences and focus on a common enemy. Zawahiri has held out an olive branch to the current leader of the Islamic State. And as you say, there are reports that he sent an emissary to try and broker some sort of truce, so it's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
Sort of a follow-up on that, could there be a circumstance in which maybe there's still sort of this division because of the Al-Qaeda affiliate Jabhat al-Nusra locally in sort of the Iraq-Syria realm, but maybe broader cooperation in other areas? So kind of if the Islamic State's not fully fully centrally coordinated, could more local branches maybe do stuff with Al-Qaeda?
Oh, sure. And there are instances even in Syria and Iraq sometimes where local commanders will work with one another even though they're from rival groups. So, yeah, that's definitely possible.
Great. Last question. This is more about sort of some of the reaction and action against the Islamic State. A number of countries are actively engaged in the Syrian conflict currently, and this has only grown in recent months, most recently with the addition of Russian airstrikes, the announcement of by the U.S. of increased use of special forces to combat the group, and in the aftermath of Paris, the increased French airstrikes. Do you think that Arab states in the region, with or without U.S. support, will or could mount a meaningful military effort to combat the Islamic State?
Well, I definitely don't think they could do it without U.S. support. I mean, they rely heavily on U.S. Intelligence, logistical organization, so on and so forth. Would they be willing to do it? With our help, so far they haven't. Most of our Arab allies are distracted by other things. The Saudis and the Emiratis are more worried about what's going on in Yemen. On down the list. I think Jordan is one of the few countries that shares our priorities, but it doesn't have a very strong military either. So the United States would still end up doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Great. Well, I just want to thank you for being here today with us, Dr. Will McCants.
Thank you for having me.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.